Hello, folks. TF Joe and Mike here, and I just want to let you know, in this episode of Studio 2009, we had a little bit of recording difficulties with connections, and some of the audio is kind of jacked up and screwed up. I've tried to fix it as best as I can, but it's a little wonky in certain places. Just as a warning for everybody who will listen to myself, Brian Billy Bob Johnson and Brian Bud Kilmer Blanchard, no relation to me, discussed the 25th anniversary of Varsity Blues. Enjoy the show.
Hi, this is Eddie from Big Ed's Barbecue in Waukegan, Illinois, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network, sucker.
Hey, it's Mistress Carrie, and you are listening to Studio 2009.
There is nothing wrong with your podcast player. Do not attempt to adjust the volume. Hello and welcome back into our studio. You are now inside Studio 2009, only on the Geekcast Radio Network. I'm, of course, TFG and Mike, and joining me today slash tonight, whenever the hell you find listening people are listening to this, are the Social Loafers from the Social Loafers podcast. It's the hero, Brian Billy Bob Johnson.
Hi.
And the villain, Brian Bud Kilmer Blanchard. Yes, folks, there's no relation between me and the villain. Thank God. Holy crap. Worst football coach ever. Hi, my Brian. Hero. And Brian.
All right, get your helmets on and take the field. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go now. Let's go, goddammit.
How are you all? funny. Funny guy.
I'm doing great. I'm so glad that I can be here today on today's podcast to talk about Billy Bob and how great Billy Bob is.
I'm going to tell you all about how great Bud Kilmer is. He's a winner.
Don't talk about the pain. The only pain is the pain you inflict on people.
That's right.
Go ahead, Mike.
You missed your other line, Mr. Billy Bob. The best line that Billy Bob has in the entire movie. And no, it has nothing to do with a tan, a fucking tan.
Oh, I was going to say that.
No, the other
that's a
one.
Fucking tan.
At the end.
Billy Bob cries because that's what he does.
No!
That needle goes anywhere near Window's leg. I swear to God, on my mother's grave, I will rip your arms off and beat you to death with them.
That is a good line. I was going to say it's the, I just puked and it's time to rally.
Give me a beer.
Give me a beer.
Oh, boy. As you can tell, folks, we're heading down to West Canaan, Texas in the Coyote Stadium as we face the 25th anniversary of Varsity Blues. Holy crap.
In America, we have laws. And it's just accepted that as a member of American society, you will live by these laws. In West Canaan, Texas, there is another society which has its own laws.
We woke up in the Twilight Zone.
West Canaan, sex and football, it's all there is.
Hey, Ma, let's roll!
Your autograph right here.
I tell you, these players are just running around flawless.
Oh, my boy's too much trouble for you.
Oh no, coach,
what the hell are you doing?
Changing. Oh, come on, I'm wearing underwear. Does it really bother you?
I can handle it.
Tell me this exam's over in a few weeks.
Five more games, no more football, no more Kilmer, and if I get into Brown, no more Risk Kane.
Woo! Yeah! Come on, keep your shirt on, Billy Bob.
Your grip up, man, I'm here to work!
He's better than football.
He's better than anything.
We do things around here my way. You're going to be second string all your life, boy. This game is 48 minutes. For the next 48 years of your life. This is your opportunity.
For you.
Playing football at West Canaan may have been the opportunity of your lifetime. But I don't want your life.
You disobey me.
and I will bury you. I know about your scholarship to Brown.
Only way we're going back out in the fields without you.
Kilmer said 48 minutes, the next 48 years of our lives.
I say we go out there and we'll leave it all out on the field. We got the rest of our lives to be mediocre, but we have the opportunity to play like gods.
Let's be heroes.
January 15th, 1999, this came out.
There's a lot of movies? Yes, there's a lot.
There's a lot of movies from 1999.
Uh-huh.
And somehow we're talking about Varsity Blues, the best one of them all.
Hey, I agree football-wise, but this
My favorite movie came out in 99.
Which is?
Drop Dead Fred.
Boondocks. No, Drop Dead Fred was 89. Drop Dead Fred was the 80s, not the 90s.
Boondock Saints.
Ah, Boondock Saints. Yes, yeah. I never
cared. Fight Club.
Yep.
You never cared for Boondock Saints?
No, it was a little too much for me.
All right.
Ah.
Different strokes.
Uh-huh. And now I'm just making sure I am correct about it. Oh, okay. Well, technically it wasn't. It was 91. I thought it was earlier than that for Drop Dead Fred. Anyway. Varsity Blues, folks, we are here celebrating the 25th anniversary. It is now currently on 4K Blu-ray release, physical media, folks. We're probably not going to have the internet in 50 years from now, so you want to be saving all your physical media just in case.
That's a good point.
You won't be able to watch anything anymore if the internet's gone, dead and gone. So dream big, play hard, live by your own rules, fight back, Varsity Blues. This movie, oh my God. So, directed by Brian Robbins, written by Peter Liff. The production company is Tolan Robbins. They've done a lot of stuff we will talk about in a little while. It's produced by Brian Robbins, like I said, Michael Tolan, starring James Vanderbeek, John Voight, Paul Walker, Ron Lester, and Scott Cann. All the men get the top billing. We've got, who else we got in this movie? We got Ali Larder. We got Amy Smart. There's a bunch
Jesse of Plemons.
Yep.
I want to correct you on one thing. You What's said that? Scott Cann.
It's Scott yeah. Conn.
Because it's James Conn's kid.
Yeah, I know it's James Conn's kid. Can. It's not like they're going to come to Indiana and reap a wrath of Conn on me, thank God.
Nah, he's busy in Hawaii making real money.
Hawaii 5-0.
That's right. All right, folks. So, like I said, to start off with just the facts and everything else with this movie, I love the music in this. The music is done by Mark Isham, MTV Productions. This was, I think, if I have this right, it was their fourth film that they had done since they started. Joe's Apartment was the first film. They then went Beavis and Butthead to America, Dead Man on Campus, and then Varsity Blues. So this was the fourth film under distribution under Paramount for MTV Productions. And let's see, the budget was this movie was made for $16 million 25 years ago. Holy crap.
And they thought it was going to be an absolute bust.
They did. It made its money back, $54.3 million. So... that's a success.
It don't sound like much in the days of the Marvel movies and stuff.
Yeah, in today's standards, it's not much. But for a little movie that could in 1999, yeah, that's a lot. Basic plot is we've got Jonathan Moxon and Lance Harbor and Julie Harbor and everybody else in the town. Football is everything in West Canaan, Texas. Football, you know, you live, die, and bleed football all the time. And it's kind of a coming of age story, in my opinion. It's, I mean, you know, you've got the whole football is there. And I'm saying this as a weird tone in my voice, like I'm making fun of it, but that's just the way it is. And football was everything. And that's what you did. And this movie, I love this movie for the switch. And this was, I think, and we'll get into the cast a little bit later, but I think this was one of, if not Walker's like
Dave, like, I know he had Skulls in 97, the Skulls in 96, but I forget what he was in before that off the top of my head. So going through the, what were you going to say, Brian?
Which Brian?
The hero, not the villain. I thought you were going to say something.
It really is a coming of age. It's basically being the subservient player, do whatever the coach says, don't ask questions, to growing up, you're getting ready to graduate high school. This is the end of your school career. Stand up, be a hero. Go out there and win that football game.
I disagree. I think it's a movie about religion.
Assalamu alaikum.
You had the on the nose little brother actually being all these different religious characters. But you have this godlike character in Bud Kilmer, and all these people are expected to worship him. The whole town does. Most of the players do.
Well, that's the thing, is that he's been coaching there for 30 years. Yeah. It's even Bud Kilmer Stadium.
Right.
So the fact that all of these kids grew up and he was there their entire life.
So I'm from Texas. And Texas is a different country than the rest of the country.
Right.
And in Texas, football is religion.
Right.
I mean, Friday nights, you watch high school football. Saturday nights, you watch college football. And Sunday, you watch the Cowboys.
Damn.
And that's real.
That's religion.
That's real down there. I mean, so my dad runs a gun range down in just outside of Austin.
Okay.
And the guy that owns it, Red, has like these rules. Anybody from, I want to say Texas Tech or Texas A&M, I forget which college, and the Dallas Cowboys shoots for free, no matter what.
You know, one of my favorite lines from the movie, I watched it 2 days ago and I watched it again this morning. Mm-hmm. And it was Allie Larder's little pickup line. My family goes to the gun club. It's half price night. Hey, they'll be gone until midnight.
That's the other religion in Texas is guns. I got over the Oklahoma-Texas line. Mm-hmm. And, they stop you on the side of the road and make sure you got guns in the car. and you're like, well, sir, we don't have any. We just got over state lines. Well, that's good. We got a couple guns to give you, so you don't feel safe in Texas. Because everybody's got guns. I mean, obviously, I made that up, but did I?
Did you? Yeah, really. So
every Bible comes with a gun.
That surprised me. That wouldn't actually.
But people stop on the side of the road outside of Dallas. Mm-hmm. And they come across that Dallas Stadium and they take pictures outside of it. Mm. I mean, I went by and it's the same thing with the auto car racing. They take pictures outside of the race car track. It's like, holy shit.
It's like you go on a pilgrimage to see all the football arenas and stadiums.
Right. So in Texas, it's way different. It is religion. Mm-hmm. And then you got this young buck kid that's not even reading a playbook. He's reading some fucking half-ass book.
I bet it was a romance novel.
No, it was
it was poetry. It was what the hell was it?
Or something, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So he's reading that instead of the playbook. So you understand why the coach is calling plays. He don't know him.
You're the dumbest smart kid I know.
Right. Coach was right the whole time.
I think my favorite scene in the movie with between John Voight and Vanderbeek is one of the times he's pulling on his helmet, but it's the time where he pulls on it and then he hits him in his head with the whistle.
Mm-hmm. That's coaching right there.
This movie
got to get in the player's head.
Yeah.
Did you guys play football?
No,
I did not play football.
No. Okay. I played football. I wish my coach was a bigger asshole. We'd have won more games.
Soft coaches make soft players.
I got a concussion on a kickoff. He wouldn't let me play the rest of the game. Now, granted, I do still have the headaches I have had when I was younger, but we could have won that game.
A lifetime of pain or a win.
I still got the pain.
Oh, God.
Well, and that's the interesting, it's the crazy thing. Like, so for me, I just like a week ago, because by the time people will hear this, it'll be a week. But I literally, as of the recording, just bought the 4K Blu-ray release off of Amazon. It just came this past Saturday. And I was not going to watch it until right before we recorded, because I wasn't sure how much of the movie I was going to remember. I remember almost every single scene of this movie without having to watch. I haven't watched this movie in at least 17 years. And I still love this movie. I love it so much. I woke up at 4 a.m. this morning. I watched it once without the commentary that's on the Blu-ray disc. And then I watched it with the commentary that's on the Blu-ray disc. So I have notes from the filmmaker commentary from the director and the producer that I will get
that's to. That's dedication.
Hey, man. podcasting, it's in my blood. It's all I do. So
right on.
Yep. All right. So did any of us see this in theaters back when it released in 99?
So in 1999, I was going into my freshman year. So I know I didn't see it, but I saw it in high school. So it was still fresh.
Okay.
I watched it for the very first time today.
What? You better be lying.
This is a movie that's in the zeitgeist. So I feel like I'd seen most of the big scenes in the movie. Mm-hmm. And I knew of most of the stuff in the movie. Uh-huh. And I took a lot of notes without ever having seen the movie until this morning.
I mean, you see parts of it, though.
Oh, all kinds of parts. I mean, obviously, I've seen the
Miss Davis.
And I've seen Ice Cream Sundae Bikini.
Whipped cream bikini. Oh, my God.
Well, she was making him a ice cream sundae.
Yep. Technically, she was, yes.
Technically.
You know, I seen some of the football plays. I knew about it. I Don't Want Your Life. And
yeah.
But finally. Go ahead.
Can I play this?
Go ahead.
You got the opportunity of a lifetime. You
playing football like at West Canaan is not the opportunity of a lifetime.
Your attitude's wrong. Your tone of voice is wrong. This is your opportunity.
For you. Playing football at West Canaan may have been the opportunity of your lifetime, but I don't want your life.
It's so beautiful.
But I'm going to tell you, because we were doing the podcast, I'm like, oh, so I set out to find the movie. I went to all of the half-price books. I tried seeing if there was any sites that just had it for free. I was like, man, if I don't like the movie, I'm not going to buy it. You know, somebody gave me a lot of movies, an entire lot of them. I think it was like 150 movies.
Damn.
Because he said, oh, it's two boxes of movies. Well, I think it's in there. Wasn't in there. It's all right. It's all right. Thanks for the movies. There's quite a few in there I do want to watch, so that's kind of cool. I graduated from high school in 96. I was married before this movie came out, and it just blew right by me. And I remember my wife heard about the whipped cream bikini thing, and it was never going to be a movie I was going to be able to watch with her. So,
oh god!
Even though they don't actually show anything until the landing strip scene, and it wasn't Allie Larder; it was all the other strippers.
Okay. That is true.
She would have never gone for it. So, my wife protects me from myself. Apparently,
you're not allowed to be happy.
You watch all them other football movies. You got all them other ones. She don't talk like that.
All right. Can we talk about Johnny Motson's voice quick?
His bad accent?
So Billy Bob is from Texas.
Yeah, and he sounds like he's from Texas.
Yeah, and Jonathan Motson is from Massachusetts.
In real life.
So how do you guys feel about the accent?
I don't care.
Okay.
It sounds good enough that I expect the character to be from Texas, but it's not something like where he talks like this all the time. And he wasn't making fun of it kind of thing.
He goes in and out of the accent though.
Yes.
Yeah. Definitely. Oh yeah. It changes throughout the entire film.
I was going to say you got 8 weeks of recording. It's going to happen.
Yeah. That was the other thing with this movie. They filmed everything in 41 days. They had no second unit on this film. It took them 41 days to film this movie. As far as I go, that
impressive.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it just goes to show you what testament of movie making was back then without CGI, without, and not that this film would have needed CGI or anything like that, but, you know, without a second unit, without more coverage and this, that, and the other thing. For me, I was 19 years old. I had just graduated high school and I saw it in theaters. And you haven't seen this movie unless you see that whipped cream bikini on a big screen.
It's a thing of beauty. Uh-huh. It was the best. It was the best shot. The great shot, Gordo, when you see her reflection in the gun case.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yep. My.
Mm-hmm.
All right, go ahead.
So who's got notes? Let's go ahead and break this film down. Who wrote the most notes?
Probably Brian. Probably everything's Brian. In my head because this is a top movie for me.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Take it away, villain.
Oh well, I did all the cast and the music and some of the big quotes.
Cool.
And I put down my top five favorite football movies to see if this measured up to those. And I removed a number and I put Varsity Blues in my top five football movies.
What did you remove?
Rudy.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Okay, wait, hold on. For my audience that probably have not heard the classic, now classic, Social Loafers episode about football movies, what was your top five initially before Varsity Blues got added in there?
The Program.
Okay. Of course.
The Longest Yard, the original Longest Yard, by the way. Okay. Any Given Sunday, Rudy, and Remember the Titans.
So wouldn't Remember the Titans get moved down? And
No, I think this one just replaced Rudy. I just took Rudy right out of the fucking list.
Oh, man. Well, they're such different movies.
Yep.
It's drama versus heart.
There's just not enough football in Rudy.
Yeah.
That's true. Hey, you got Hangover football in Varsity Blues.
Yeah, that was a bad game for them.
Oh, my God.
That was the football game that followed up the best scene in the movie.
Of course. So you go from strippers and boobies to all of a sudden they're getting demolished and you get Jonathan Moxon just pulling his helmet off, sweating, just slow motion. Oh, God.
Now, I've had my share of drinking.
Yep.
I've done lots of drinking when I was young. How much drinking do you have to do to still be hungover at 7 o'clock at night?
They didn't get out of the strip club till 7 a.m. that day,
which is wild because they were the only car in the parking lot. Do they have keys to the place?
Dude, they are gods in that moment.
It's obvious. Football, royalty, gods, whatever you want to call them. Like, you don't have to worry about the Diet Coke. Here's your beer for free. There you go.
That absolutely was awesome.
The moment he gets there.
Your money's no good here, son.
That's right.
He literally played a minute 41.
Yep, absolutely.
That's a god.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, who's this scumbag? He sucks. I take my snaps at him, and then he throws that 40-yard bomb. He's the greatest. He's going to the NFL.
His comment was, he's not even worth a shirt he's his ass with.
What? Yep. Oh, man. Fucking dads were the worst characters in the movie.
Throw that fucking pigskin, son.
Look at the way he's slapping him every time of their life. Yep.
I think out of as much as I've loved this movie over the last 25 years and whatever else and everything that's in pop culture with it, I think the only negative I have about this movie is the slow motion scenes with the dads and the slow motion scene with the mom that were Johnny, you can do it. Like, oh, God, that was just.
Yeah, it was a scene where. The dads were challenging their sons to throw the football at him.
Yeah. Hit some right in his face.
William Tell hit it off my head, son. Mm-hmm. And they go into a slow motion scene, and the drunk mom's like, "You got this, son." She just is such a lush in this movie. It doesn't make sense.
She fucking hates her life. Okay. Her whole life is football.
If your name is Mo Moxon.
Yeah.
This part has been edited. Ha, ha, ha. You'll never know what was actually here.
Yeah, that mom, man. Yeah, with a name like Mo Moxon. Holy, boy.
Gross.
All right. Lance's dad was the worst character in the fucking movie.
And yet, isn't he name kind of thing?
Yeah, but it was like, don't do this to me.
Yeah.
What's going to happen to us?
Yeah.
This guy was going to save us with all the money he was going to bring in.
Yeah. And the crazy thing is,
how long before he played again?
Yeah. Well, the crazy thing is,
their son back.
Before we were going to do this, I saw a movie he was the Lance's dad, played by Richard Lineback. Yeah. I saw something with him in it, and I was like, wait a minute, isn't that Lance's dad from Varsity Blues? And now I can't find what the hell it was that I was watching.
He's got to be one of the biggest names for that movie.
Oh, no, absolutely he is. Oh, that's what it was. He kind of
looks like Andy Travis.
Yeah, it is.
A little bit, yeah.
Natural Born Killers. He was in Speed.
Yep. He was in, I know what Twister. It was. Yeah, he was in Twister.
Justified.
Yep.
NCIS. JAG. Yep.
So I remember what it was now.
King of Texas.
Yep. So Steve Megatron and I, we are starting, or hopefully starting here soon once it gets edited. We're starting a Star Trek podcast on the Geekcast Radio Network, and we're going season by season, starting with The Next Generation, because that's what we both grew up on, and that's where I saw him recently, was in season one, episode one, as Romas. As soon as I was watching Star Trek, and I'm like, what in the hell is Lance Harbor's dad doing in Star Trek? That's the first thing I thought of as soon as I saw the guy. Yeah, he's got a wide range of stuff.
Because he's badass.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Mr. Hero, what are your favorite moments from the movie, and what are your least favorite moments from the movie?
I want everybody together to go ahead and say, penis, 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 vagina, vagina, vagina.
And then you got Johnny Moxon's famous line.
You can put Pedro away now, thank you.
Oh, stop. The male erection, pitching a tent, sporting wood, icicle formed, the march is on. Oh, that's good now, Moxon. Just hold on. Stiffy, Mr. Mortis, rigor mortis has set in, flesh rocket, Jack's magic beanstalk, tall Tommy, mushroom on a stick, Mr. Mushroom head, purple headed yogurt slinger, and Pedro. I fucking Pedro. Love it. Mm-hmm, Pedro. I love it. I don't. I love it. That was fantastic. I was a kid, 17, 18 years old. I watched that. I was like, that guy's fucking badass.
So that kind of takes me back. So when I was in high school, we had a pretty hot health teacher, too. And not stripper hot, but you know, as far as teachers go, the rest of my teachers were old as fuck. So when we got to the actual sex part of health class, people were asking the most obscene stuff. And everybody would giggle. Oh my God, we're talking about this. And I mean, you could ask her the most offensive shit. Like, well, what is safe oral sex? And she would draw it out.
That's a teacher.
And
demonstrator.
And ironically enough, towards the end of school year, you know, I was joking around, walking behind her in the hall. And I said, hey, Miss J, I still need a date for prom. I was just wondering. And I had never seen this movie because the movie wasn't out yet. Because this was in the mid-90s.
Mm-hmm.
And she just laughed. And she's like, oh, you'll find plenty of girls your age, Brian.
So when you saw this for the first time today, and Billy Bob says, Miss Davis, will you go to prom with me? That just brought a smile to your heart, didn't it?
Did a little bit. And I wasn't the fat kid in school.
Oh, she was so pretty. Toni Perenski is the actress's name.
And she has nothing.
I did find out that she was Slim Shady's mom in the music video, My Name is Slim Shady.
Oh, I was going to say, wasn't that – oh, in the movie, though.
No, in the music video, she was Slim Shady's mom.
Huh.
Oh. Miss Davis.
Oh, if that was my mom, I'd breastfeed while I was 24.
You are such a villain. You're a bad, bad role model, sir.
I mean, in the movie.
In the movie.
Not
right. Uh-huh. Sure you do. Sure you mean in the movie.
Oh, God.
I feel like he's turning into some sort of Memphis Reigns over there.
I am a bad man.
See, I love that movie also. Brian does not like Gone in 60 Seconds. Only the original.
No, I like the original. I don't know why they remake movies.
Fuck the original. I'm sorry. There's not many times that I will ever say this ever in my lifetime, but fuck the original Gone in 60 Seconds. Hell no.
Horrible. You just hurt his feelings.
Clearly, we have no relation. The first one was a car movie. The second one was, I don't even fucking know, man.
Better car
it was
an
advertisement for Canes.
No.
Oh, God. God bless us, everyone.
Okay, Tiny Tim.
I'm just over here trying to keep the peace.
Sure you are.
All right.
I'm for the ages, don't you know? Blanchard versus Blanchard for all the marbles. Oh, Lord. I got a
new bionic hip. Bring it on, brother.
I got my money on Blanchard. All right. Where do you want to go next?
That was your favorite scene. What's your least favorite scene?
My least favorite scene. It would probably have to be that throw the fucking pigskin. You know, just the weird slow motion, the weird close-ups. That's probably the low light for me. Yeah. Like, I liked when he got mad and you chucked the football at him and all of a sudden the screen goes red because of the blood. But the scene leading in that whole section, like the weird family bonding, hanging out in the backyard and just throw that fucking pigskin, son.
I get it. They were trying to go for not necessarily specifically, even though they're supposed to be a family in Texas kind of thing. They were going for that old family barbecue type where everyone comes over and all the football families and whatever else have a party and whatever. I kind of get what they were going for. If they would have just not used the slow motion, that scene would have been fine.
Well, Brian Robbins doesn't do a lot of movies. Prior to Varsity Blues, he did Good Burger.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So,
hold up.
He's not a big director. He's a producer, not a director. So yeah. I'll give him a sway on that. Let him go.
Yep.
He did.
Ready to
Rumble, the wrestling movie, which was fucking terrible.
All right, he did that. But
in Orbit, which is considered the worst movie ever made.
Yeah, I blame Charlie.
Was he good?
I blame Eddie Murphy on that. I will say one other scene, because the penis, 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 vagina, 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 will live in my head forever. It will have real estate in my brain.
Right. But, for free.
But for free. But... the scene with Billy Bob with his trophies and the gun, and we was just little kids.
That was powerful shit, though.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
That was I'm going to give that one the best scene because the acting was the best.
Oh, okay. I said bad. Okay.
No, yeah, that was the best just because.
Dude, I felt bad for that kid in that scene. Like,
you really thought he was going to kill himself.
He thought Bud Kilmer was God, and God turned his back on him.
He treated me like a son, Mox.
Yep.
It was so beautiful. And the fact that people said that Billy Bob, Ron Lester, stole the movie, it's because of that. Mm-hmm. He was lovable. You cared about him. Johnny Moxon was just in the movie to be the hero.
Right.
But Billy Bob was the movie.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So I'm gonna give that one to my favorite scene.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the slow motion is always gonna be my least favorite. My favorite scene is probably. And I think it's more about, and they said this in the commentary, actually. They said that they probably spent more money on the music than they actually spent on the rest of the film. Because this film has music in it and on the soundtrack that, oh man, just it just fit it so, so well. Obviously, the whipped cream bikini scene is not, you know, it just goes without saying. But I love the scene where I really do. It's Billy Bob's time. They keep telling me, "Are you going to make this play?" The one where I run down the field and act like I'm stupid and don't know where I'm going. And he makes the damn play. That's amazing.
Yeah, talking about the music, though, mm-hmm. one of the very first songs that I remember hearing from that was Nice Guys Finish Last by Green Day.
Yep.
And you don't even think about the meaning behind that, because throughout uh-huh. the movie you see Johnny Moxon just, you know, I'm the nice guy. I can't do this. I can't do this to Lance. You know, I can't do mm-hmm. do what I want because I'm the nice guy. And it was very poetic as far yep. as Nice Guys Finish Last.
Yeah, this
until the
yeah.
end when he actually won and became a hero.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, but all it's right. just so good. All right, let's see. Where are we going next now?
I want to hear what Brian's favorite scene is.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, I would have to say I like the scene right before the game. This has got 48 minutes for the rest 48 years of your life. Fuck I mean, that. This coach believed in himself so hard. And these kids, they weren't even listening. They didn't understand what he was trying to tell them. He was trying to tell them, if you want to be winners, forget all the other shit. This is important. Everything in that football field is the most important thing you're going to do for the rest of your life. Clearly, everybody in town believes it. Why can't you?
Because it's true. Right. Everything happened. You became the manager at Walmart.
Whatever.
I'm just saying. Football.
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 Goddamn football game.
Oh, man. Oh, boy. Yeah.
During halftime of a football game.
Edit point.
We are. I would have listened
there the we whole time.
We'd won the damn game.
Yep.
Right? And then the worst part of the football game, the whole movie, was with the poor coach cleaning out his office at the end of the movie when the rest of the players think they can play without me. No.
He just left.
He just – I don't understand it. He was trying to rile him up.
He took his ball and he went home.
What the fuck? They made him look like a goddamn idiot at the end of the movie when he was clearly the hero the whole time. Coach the kid.
No, he was not the hero. Are you nuts?
He was clearly Coach – Bud Kilmer is a national treasure.
Bullshit.
They play the soundtrack differently.
Yes. He should have been the hero. There goes when he come out.
There goes my hero.
That should have been that's
Bud
it.
Bud Kilmer.
It should have been the Bud Kilmer show. He should if they really wanted to play into how great he was, he would have had his own radio show during the movie.
Yeah, no, I don't think that would have worked. You can't say fuck on the radio. You can say it in a podcast. You can't say it on the radio. The one thing I found interesting about this movie is that Scott Kahn did his most of some of these guys did their own stunts a lot of the time. The blocking of the punt in the commentary, they said that he wanted to do that himself and he did it.
Makes sense.
That's a good thing. I mean, really, Billy Bob threw those two guys back, that was clearly pantomimed. They just fly back, like,
yeah,
it's all about the football.
It's all about football.
Yep.
It took me back. I was ready to go. Call the old team, see what they're doing.
Just have like a drive-through movie or a drive-in movie where you got back-to-back movies, watch the program and Cars to Blues, and you're going to run.
I'm ready. With the soundtrack to Any Given Sunday.
Okay. I'm going to be honest. I've never seen Any Given Sunday.
That's all right. Not every movie's meant for everybody to see.
I've seen the trailer and I was like, oh, Al Pacino is a football coach. Okay. Sure. Why not? You go from Big Boy Caprice to a football coach. Great.
What?
Big Boy Caprice?
He was Big Boy in Dick Tracy.
Oh,
that was early 90s.
Never
was
saw
1990,
that.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm never big and stuff.
Okay. All right.
I like movies about real stuff, like football.
Funny.
This is going great, Mike.
Yeah, pretty much. It's all the villains.
My Mike Corgi. Yep, I agree.
Yeah. What was I going to say? Actually, what was funny is they, in the director's commentary, they actually talk about the whipped cream bikini scene. It was too difficult. That's not whipped cream that she has. It's shaving cream, because the whipped cream would melt every time they tried to do it.
Because she was so freaking hot.
I was going to say yes, that. Yeah.
She put that shit on fast. She had that shit on fast.
But if you think about it, she's done it before for Lance.
So?
She knows what she's doing.
Right.
How many other people did she do it for? She is the serial quarterback dater.
Yep. Well, I mean, one was going to Florida State, and then he blew out his knee, so that was done. So she had to hook her hooks on the next best thing.
That's the confusing part about this movie.
That's just smart business.
She could do so much more.
Yeah.
She was supposedly smart.
She's smart. She could get out. She's pretty. She's a cheerleader. She could go get her own scholarship, be a cheerleader.
Or she could marry a quarterback and just blow her way to...
Oh, wow. Oh, you villain. Love it. Just blow her way to the top.
This is comedy gold, Mike.
Yes, it is. Absolutely, 100% comedy gold.
There's like two main women in this movie, and they're both pretty and smart.
And not doing anything now.
Well, that's true. I did find out that they are best friends in real life.
Yeah,
because of this movie.
Really?
Yeah, Allie Larder and Amy Smart?
Well, they were friends before that, I think, and then they realized the casting people found out that they were friends in real life after they cast both of them.
Well, it makes sense. But at the same time, being that they were pretty much the only two women on set, they bonded because everybody was against them. You know, it's all the fraternity versus the maternity. Yeah.
No, it's
paternity.
Whatever. Mm. Yeah.
Sorority.
There you go. Sorority.
It's the word.
The girls weren't in the movie very much anyway, though. They weren't really in a lot of scenes. The movie was really about Billy Bob and Vanderbeek.
Yep.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, it should have been, honestly, about the coach.
So I found out that in 2016, they were writing a script to make it a TV show.
Thank God it never happened.
TV show for CMT. But it could have focused on Bud Kilmer. What if it was a prequel for Bud Kilmer's life?
From my understanding, Varsity Blues was actually a result of them not being able to get the rights to Friday Night Lights. So they made this, and then later on, Friday Night Lights was the movie, and then that spun off into a TV show. So it just been
It was kind of ass backwards. And I am a big proponent, because we live in a world currently in 2024, folks, where you can't throw an Infinity Stone and not hit a cinematic universe between Marvel, DC, Star Wars, Indiana Jones, even though Indiana Jones Godzilla. 4 and 5 don't count, Godzilla. Everything is franchise. Everything is cinematic universe. And I love the art of a single film telling a story beginning, middle, and end, and it just ends. They even say in the commentary, they comment on the fact that at Mox's epilogue there, I never played football again. You were never going to get a Varsity Blues 2 with these characters from this film. No. Like you said, potentially, if the series had happened, maybe it would have focused on Kilmer's rise or whatever the hell kind of stuff. But I am happy that this is a single standalone thing that does not need a bunch of other hooey around it.
You know, he won state championships in like 88 and 89. It could have been like a 3-year span on this TV show of Bud Kilmer's greatness. Yeah. But then again, who are you going to get to play John Voight's character?
John Voight. He's a national treasure.
He is in National Treasure, yes.
No, he is.
Nicolas Cage's dad.
He is a national treasure. I mean, I listened to five different podcasts preparing for this one just to get like other people's perspectives. Mm-hmm. And now, probably going to offend some people, but all these podcasts seem to focus on what he is in real life and how they don't like that. Tough shit. He's a national treasure. He's a real American. He's a patriot. He's a religious guy. And, you know, it just carried it over onto the screen. Mm-hmm. And the national treasure.
If he was actually Bud Kilmer in real life.
Well, okay. All right. So my first experience with John Voight was the movie Deliverance, where he was this know-nothing guy, you know. He was the all-hum-shucks buddy of the hero in the movie, but he becomes the hero in the movie. Spoiler alert, but the movie came out like 50 years ago.
1972.
Yeah. 52 years ago. Sorry.
Yeah, he played – hey, I'm on the Wikipedia. I'm fast, damn it. This is how I roll around. Right. But he played the character – I can't even – Ed Gentry was his character's name in Deliverance.
But he was just the best friend of Burt Reynolds. And at the beginning of that movie, Burt Reynolds was like super badass, superhero. And he actually wins the movie. He actually is the one who climbs up the mountain and kills the last of the backwoods hicks or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Squeal for me, piggy.
Well, yeah. And, you know, obviously, you know, he was killed earlier.
Right.
But, you know, he's played all these roles where he's like the quiet tough guy. And then of course he was the bad guy in the first Mission Impossible, which in reality was the hero. Cause if you think about it, though, I do love Tom Cruise, but I mean, they really were hanging those guys out to dry. He was looking out for himself. That's and that good. Made sense. That was that. His exit strategy from MI, from the Impossible Mission Force.
Yes, Mission Impossible, 1996, Jim Phelps, and that's where I first saw him. That was my introduction to his acting. He would go on to do Leo F. Drummond in The Rainmaker, which is based off the John Grisham novel. He was in Enemy of the State as Thomas Brian Reynolds. That I love Enemy of the State. That's another good movie. Obviously, we've been talking about Varsity Blues as Bud Kilmer. He's in Zoolander. He's in the second or the... No, that's the first. Oh, that's right. Lord Richard Croft. The first Tomb Raider movie. Super Babies. Yeah. National Markov's Treasure dead. 1 and 2. Yep. And then he went on to interact with a franchise that the GCRN knows a lot about, Transformers. He was Mr. John Keller in the first Transformers movie. He was in Tropic Thunder. He was in a bunch of other things.
He was in Tropic Thunder?
Yeah. He was. I don't remember. He played himself. It was a cameo.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah, at the Oscars at the end of the movie?
Probably.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yep, yep.
But he will always be remembered.
He got mad because he didn't win the Oscar. And he was, he should have won it. That's an edit they should have made. They should have had him win the Oscar.
If he acted like Bud Kilmer in at the Oscars, right. He would have won.
Goddamn right.
Okay, so Mr. Voight.
I want the statue.
He's 85 years taken old. It.
We would have taken down the statue, but it was just too heavy.
That's right.
You know, they could have hooked it up to Billy Bob's truck and pulled it down if they're really that mad.
Probably.
But then in reality, that'd been like taking down God's statue and they just wouldn't do it.
You know what's missing from Varsity Blues, folks? Billy Bob's truck should have been Bigfoot.
No, it's got Billy Bob on the side of it. Why does it need to be Bigfoot?
And
no,
have I'm bacon saying. On the other side.
The bacon. Yep. I love that diet. I love that damn dog. I think it's a pig, Billy Bob.
Yeah.
Yep.
So Mr. Voight is 85 years old, and between last year and now this year, he had one film last year called Mercy. This year, he is finished. I guess one is it's done. And then he has three. He's got three movies in post-production right now. The Painter is finished. Shadowland, Reagan, and Megalopolis.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait to see Megalopolis. That looks good.
Oh, my God. What the hell? I don't even know if I want to watch Reagan, but it's holy crap. This is a whole other rabbit hole. We cannot go down here. But Dennis Quaid.
Please don't.
Dennis Quaid is going to be Ronald Reagan, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, my. I can see that. Because he's old now.
Yeah, that's true.
And he's a former actor.
Well,
yeah. Funny guy.
He was in Any Given Sunday.
Mm-hmm. He was what, third string quarterback?
No, he was the starter that got hurt at the beginning of the movie.
Well, then he became the backup's backup or whatever.
He went back. Yeah, but he was hurt. But you know, then his wife didn't like him anymore because he wasn't playing. He's a pussy.
Was he married to Allie Larder?
No, he was married to Holly
Hunter.
No, the one from
Holly Lauren.
Is that the one from Dumb and Dumber?
Yeah, Jim Carrey.
Lauren Holly. Yeah, Lauren
Holly.
Yeah, that's. I don't even have to look that up. I know that name off the top of my head.
She's so pretty.
She's very pretty.
She's married to Jim Carrey after they did Once Bitten.
Yep.
Really?
Jim Carrey, the vampire, yeah.
Yep.
That's when she married him?
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
What?
He was nobody.
So?
It's all about personality. He's still nobody. Jim Carrey's a fucking kook.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
I don't think I like you anymore.
I think that villain woke up on the wrong side of the bed today because Jim Carrey is also a national treasure.
Thank you.
In what movie?
Ace Ventura.
Overactor.
That's why he's so great.
Exactly. Forget
Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
That's all right. Yeah, Eternal Sunshine. But really, honestly, forget the movies he's done, but not really. But really, his breakout amazing role. I tell you something. It's Fire Marshal Bill, man. Come on.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Let me show you something.
That's where he really got cooking.
He's like a real-life cartoon character.
Yeah, he is.
I wanted to be the next Jim Carrey when I was growing up.
Well, everybody wants to be the next Jim Carrey. Now he's a Robotnik.
Yeah, he is a very good Robotnik.
Absolutely. All right, any other...
Brian doesn't like cartoon movies or whatever, so... He doesn't care for the Sonic movies.
Never even heard of them.
Sonic the Hedgehog.
Is that a video game?
You suck.
It's a video game. Okay. It was just for Brian, folks, because I know everybody listening to the sound of my voice knows this. It was originally a video game. It had one or two or three animated series, maybe four or five. I forget off the top of my head, but I know it had two major ones back in the late 80s, early 90s. And then they turned it into a live action movie, live action CGI movie. So technically, the two movies that they've done so far. They're not cartoons. They are basically it's Roger Rabbit, but with Sonic the Hedgehog.
Proving that children are idiots.
Wow.
We're once a child. You're still an idiot.
One. Oh my God. Got some low blows coming.
That's all, man. I can take it.
One of the Sonic the Hedgehog iterations was voiced by Jaleel White. Urkel. Yep,
Urkel?
Yeah.
Yep.
Urkel. Did I do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
He loved chili dogs and just whatever. You know what? We're not talking Sonic. We're talking
juice and jam time.
Tan! A fucking tan!
Oh, God. All right.
And we're back.
I'll give it a 9.5.
What would your rating be, Mike, for this movie?
My rating? Who are you, the host?
I'm curious. I'm trying to get us back on track.
Yeah.
We're talking Sonic the Hedgehog and Jaleel White.
Yeah, well, we can trust me. I can bring a podcast down at any point in time because in 2015, Furious 7 was Paul Walker's final film before he died in the car crash, or however, I think that's how he passed away off the top of my head.
Yep,
that's depressing. Why'd you bring that up?
Because
that was the day men cried.
Yes, exactly. But apparently, from our and I've only seen up to the ninth film. I have not seen Fast X yet, but there's archive footage from Fast Five in Fast X.
And his character is still alive in the cinematic universe.
Yes,
I don't understand
that either.
I do believe there's rumors that his character will be in future films.
Yes, there's
that don't make no sense.
It does make sense because they didn't kill him yet. And everybody that's died in the films has been returned.
He's not wrong about that, actually.
Can't die in a car.
Now I agree. After Fast 9, when they went to outer space, I remember sitting next to my son in theater, looked over at him. I go, well I guess they can't go nowhere else since they got in space.
They could fly to the sun.
And my son goes, yeah, but there's going to be another one. I said, there's probably going to be five more movies. It's ridiculous.
They're going to call it, they're going to fly to the sun, and it's going to be called Fast Icarus.
But Icarus. But ironically enough, again, the 10th movie came out. I was at theater opening night. So I keep waiting for Paul Walker to make a comeback.
He's he not going to. He been dead, unfortunately. All right, so we have a GCR and Universal rating scale. We do 0 to 5 stars. I would probably give this a 4.5 out of 5.
Why is it so low?
4.5 out of... No, it's a 0 to 5 with half points. So it's not...
Yeah, so no. It's missing a half a star. Why?
No, why? Why is it missing... You really want... Come on, Johnny, you can do it! That's why it's missing half a damn
You're
star.
You're telling me one line from a drunk mom that killed scene, a half a star?
The whole scene, not just her, but the whole scene with the slow motion parts. Yes, absolutely. 4.5 okay. out of 5.
Okay, how's this? Whipped cream bikini, I give it 3 stars just for that scene. So now all of a sudden it's a 6.5 out of 5. That's what I say.
Don't make me do math. It hurts my head.
I'll tell you what. I'm gonna give it a 4.
Oh my god!
It loses an entire point for the way they treated that poor coach at the end of the movie.
Oh, shut up!
They didn't even give him a walk off into the sunset. He walked down the dark.
I mean, it was like even the people in the crowd, they forgot about the coach. But at least the announcers were trying to keep. Where's the coach? Why isn't he on the field? They scored a touchdown. And I looked over for the coach. I couldn't find Coach Kilmer. I don't know where it was. And I was thinking the same thing. It's like, he didn't really leave. Yes, why would he leave?
He left.
This is his 27th championship or whatever.
He left the entire town as like a pariah.
Yeah, and he never coaches again? I mean, at least talk about going out a winner. I mean.
Oh, wow. You know, I didn't even think of. Jesus
that's right.
Christ, that's depressing.
He left on top.
That's the way all winners go.
That's right. Go out on top. That's if I was the head coach and we won the championship, and you're like, oh, what do you have to say for yourself? I would say, well, I'm going to retire because you can't do no better than the championship. So there you go. That's what I would have announced it.
Yeah.
No press conference, nothing.
No, I would have had a press conference. I'd have told everybody. I'm writing my memoirs.
Would you read a book written by Bud Kilmer?
Yes. Of course, in reality, it'd probably be called Mein Kampf because he was kind of a dick, but that whole racism thing was bad.
Oh, God. Yeah. You know, that does say something. There's only like one black guy on the team.
I think there was three. I think that at one point they said there was three on the team.
Okay.
And no Mexican kids in Texas, West Texas, no Mexican kids for reals.
They were in East Canaan.
Yeah, it must have been all East Canaan.
They couldn't cross the border.
I didn't want none of them filthy.
That's gonna get edited.
No, I didn't say it.
You didn't say it.
All right.
Besides, we are an explicit podcast network, folks.
Fantastic.
It's innuendo or innuendon't. Would you recommend this film to people?
Yes. I have over and over again.
I'll be honest. A lot of people told me to watch this over the years, and I always put it on the, oh, yeah, I'm going to get to it. And then when Brian reached out and said, oh, yeah, Mike wants to do this podcast, I'm like, I probably should watch the movie.
I just don't understand. How is this – how could it slide by this far, other than the fact that your wife wouldn't let you watch Whipped Cream Bikini? She could have like put up like a cardboard paper like over the screen or something.
This is I'm just going to go on a brief aside. Sure. So we did the where you rent the movie on camera on demand or whatever.
Voodoo or yeah.
Yep,
with what's the one with Jennifer Lawrence?
Which one? Hunger Games?
The most recent one that she just did.
No.
Nope.
No. She's like some washed up.
No hard feelings.
No hard feelings. Yes. Okay. So, in the beginning of the movie, up in the corner, it says rated R for foul language, nudity, whatever. She sees that and she looks over at me and she goes, "You knew there was nudity in this movie, right?" And I was like, "Yeah, but it's Jennifer Lawrence. It's not gonna be her." So I figured I was safe.
Right.
And anybody who's seen the movie knows that at one point they go skinny dipping. Mm-hmm. Again, they were skinny dipping, and I figured it's still not going to be Jennifer Lawrence. I'm not going to show anything. And she comes walking out of the water, and my wife is just staring daggers through me. and I was like, honestly, I didn't know that was happening. And
I'm sorry, honey.
But we gotta admit, that was a pretty funny scene.
Yes. Yeah. If you haven't seen No Hard Feelings, it's pretty good. Considering that it like left the movie theater pretty quickly, like yeah. to no fanfare whatsoever, I thought it was a pretty good movie.
It was good. But I mean, I didn't hear the end of it after that scene.
Of course.
So I always assumed at some point I'm going to get to Varsity Blues, but I'm going to wait until I have 2 hours.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, yeah. And it just never lined up. I had other stuff to watch. I had other stuff to do.
So many things to do. Everyone's to-do list at some point in their life should be watch Varsity Blues. That's my recommendation.
Well, what I don't understand is all the people that I listen to the podcast were other than the one we listen to all the time, the rewatchables.
Yeah, rewatchables.
These were all people that watched the movie when they were younger.
Mm-hmm.
And this was like playing all the time in their football and stuff. This wouldn't have been a movie I watched while I was playing football. I watched two films over and over again before almost every football game. And they were The Program.
And Rudy.
Yes.
Which is no longer in your top five.
No longer in my top five. And the reason I watched them is because they were inspirational to me. This movie I didn't feel as inspirational. I felt like they did the coach dirty. And it was a bunch of kids standing up to the coach. Where you do need to respect your coach because he knows more about football than you do.
All right. Here's a hypothetical. Uh-huh. You're watching this. Say you were in high school when this movie came out.
Mm-hmm.
Say that you were playing football when this movie came out. Would you have still loved Bud Kilmer the way you love him now? Or would you have been on Johnny Moxon's side?
I would have probably been on Tweeter's side when I was playing football, to tell you the truth.
Johnny Moxon, you are under arrest for not being naked in this car with these naked women.
Yeah, the girl fell down a dick-sucking tree and hit every branch on the way down.
Yep, Tweeter. I think of you as Tweeter, seriously.
I could see it.
Your wife kind of won't let you know.
She whipped the Tweeter out of me.
Oh, Lord.
Well, she's kept me out of jail this long, so.
Okay.
Well, I mean, if you fast forward that movie like 10 years.
Yeah.
Where is everybody? Right? Because they said, this is so-and-so was crying, so-and-so was drinking beer. But, that was later that day.
Tweeter drinks beer because Tweeter drinks beer. Yeah.
Tweeter's in jail 10 years later, right?
Probably.
He's the guy hitting the nuts at the party because he keeps going to parties way after graduation.
Yep. Because that's the only place that he's a god.
Nobody's putting him in college. He's what, 5'2"? He isn't starting any college teams. So he peaked in high school.
Right.
That's right.
And then you got the running back.
Oh, that kid actually did play in the NFL.
Yep. Kansas City Chiefs.
Yep. Until he hurt his knee, and then they wouldn't let him inject it.
I wonder if the movie jinxed him. You act in the movie when you have a hurt knee. Go into real life and you get a hurt knee. Coincidence?
I think not.
Bad juju.
Well, anybody who's played football knows that you get concussions and you get knee injuries a lot.
Yeah.
I still got bad knees from football and I got concussions from football. So
you should have played lacrosse.
Oh, sissy.
Oh my God.
It's like hockey without ice or football without football.
It's physical lacrosse. It's amazing.
It's a little wimpy.
You hurt me. Jesus. I don't.
Hockey superior, lacrosse inferior.
Ah, I'm gonna hang up on you guys.
Before we go to a quick break, I just want to run down really quick the Tolan Robbins Productions, Mike Tolan, Brian Robbins. These guys have done a lot of stuff that I think most of us will enjoy. Like we mentioned earlier, Good Burger, Varsity Blues, they did Big Fat Liar. The Shaggy Dog was okay. They did Hardball, Summer Catch. Summer Catch is one of the best baseball movies of all time, period, end of sentence, end of line. No arguments at all whatsoever. For TV, shut up. For TV, All That, Kenan and Kel, Arliss, obviously Smallville for 10 years, 2001 to 2011, and they haven't done anything since 2021 when they did the Clutch Academy for BET Network.
Okay.
But yeah, Varsity Blues. We are going to go to a quick ad break. You're going to hear some ads and some other stuff. We'll come back to close the show right after this.
Hello, geeks and geekettes. Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the Geekcast Radio Network.
Kid?
Yes?
Shut up.
Beyond the Night is the GCRN's latest review podcast. We are covering everything in the Knight Rider television universe, from the classic 80s TV series to the 1991 reunion film Team Knight Rider, and the 2008 relaunch series as well. So join TFG and Mike and Dion the Music Man as they go in-depth in Beyond the Night, only on Geekcast Radio Network. You can find Beyond the Night in iTunes and on www.geekcastradio.com.
Kit.
Yes, Michael.
Just keep driving.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The Geekcast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film.
Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or geekcastradio.com.
Hi, I'm Terry Smith, the host of Music Talks, the podcast where I ask guests a simple but beguiling question. Choose a song from each decade of your life and tell me why these songs mean so much to you. Guests and listeners love this format, and if you want to find out why, then take a listen at musictalkspod.buzzsprout.com or use your favourite podcast app. Just search on Music Talks Terry Smith. If you'd like to be a guest on the show and... then send me a tweet at Music Talks Pod. I look forward to doing some music talking soon.
Good morning, loafers, and welcome back to a fantastic show. We've got with us today Brian Blanchard and Brian Johnson.
The Social Loafers.
Every episode is a new episode. We have different categories. We're talking movies mostly. And everything we do is off the cuff. Different, it's fun, it's tangential,
and we do it live.
Don't forget to follow us on the Social Loafer Facebook page. Follow us on Twitter on Social Loafer 85. Check us out on Spotify, iHeartRadio.
Loafers out.
All right, folks, we are back here inside Studio 2009 Varsity Blues and a bunch of tangents, because the Bryans can't do a podcast without going on a bunch of tangents.
But that's how podcasts work.
Yes, of course they do. So, any final thoughts on Varsity Blues?
A tan! A fucking tan! Everything about it.
All right.
Go ahead.
I really liked it.
Go ahead. I want to hear what you
say, Dylan. I really liked it. I don't know.
Thank you.
I like the movie. Thank you for making me watch the movie so I could...
25 years later.
25 years later so I could enjoy it. I actually feel bad that I did not watch this movie earlier.
As you should.
Yeah. I mean, and if anybody out there hasn't seen it, they should definitely watch it. I bought it on Amazon Prime for $14.99.
Yep.
Because I couldn't take the moment to find the DVD. I wanted to watch it right there and then.
Oh, so
now I'll watch it on my phone. I can watch it. Go ahead.
You watch it on your phone. You watch it on your TV. You watch it in your...
in my bedroom.
I was going to say.
Watch the landing strip.
Yep.
You know the landing strip's a real place in Austin, Texas?
I believe it.
It is.
I've never been there, but.
But you've heard of it. You know it's a thing.
Yep.
I mean, so what strip club? That's just a perfect name. The landing strip.
Landing strip.
Absolutely. It's right next to the airport.
That would be a little confusing, I think. But then again, flight attendants do need, other jobs sometimes.
That's a precious car for a school teacher.
I was just thinking that.
That car, man. Holy crap. That car. Oh, Lord. For me, I remember.
All she needed was a license plate that says sexy.
Uh-huh.
Hot for teacher.
Uh-huh.
We actually played that for one of my buddy's weddings. The teacher. So when the first dance was going to be their song, I actually slipped the guy a disc from Van Halen, Hot for Teacher, and I go, well, we don't know this. I said, all right, $20, just do it.
Just do it. That's Thank a good you. Wedding. Just do it. Absolutely. For me, I remember having the VHS of this way back when in 1999. I remember having the CD soundtrack. I actually found out that I have both digital and physical. So I bought the physical copy in order to get the 4K version of it. And with the 4K version comes, it's got the it's got the 4K disc, the Blu-ray disc, and it's got the digital code to have it in 4K on Apple or Vudu, or actually Vudu is now called Fandango at Home, folks.
Stupid. Oh, yeah.
Wish Fandango didn't do that. But so I go to enter the digital code, and apparently at one point or another, Vudu was saying, hey, you can upgrade your quality of this to this for this amount of money. Apparently I already upgraded it because I went to enter the code, and I'm like, crap, I already have the 4K version on Fandango at Home. So I'm like, okay, that works.
But if the internet does go away like you predicted, mm-hmm. you still have the physical copy.
Absolutely.
As long as electricity doesn't go away, you'll be all right.
Yeah, exactly. Here's hoping.
You can always just look at the disc.
Funny guy. All right, what do you guys got going on? Promote yourselves.
Well, I'll be honest. We haven't recorded an episode in a while.
Since October.
Yeah, we recorded like October 6th. For a Friday the 13th episode, and we haven't recorded since then because Brian's kind of a big deal, and he thinks he's a hot mess up in Plymouth, and everything he does is gold and blah 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 blah. He's too busy for recording. I have attempted a couple on my own. I did one with another Brian named Brian Harper.
Yep, and I listened to all the podcasts you put out.
I thought it was fun. Brian goes on tangents as well. He goes on a lot of tangents. At one point, we're talking music, and he starts complaining about youth sports.
Yeah. Talked about his bus a lot.
That was a tough episode to edit. Didn't help that we were smoking and drinking in the garage. So
smoking? You smoke?
Well, for the episode.
You know, we drug test here.
I didn't say weed.
Uh-huh.
It was little so cigarillos.
Cigarillos.
Yeah.
Don't drink and drive. I am Johnny Moxon. I'm a good boy.
Right. Okay, I mean, Billy Bob.
Would Allah? I think he would.
If Allah had a chance to nail Darcy, would he? I think he would. Assalamu alaikum.
It does take me back to high school, and I remember how stupid we were in school.
That's bad.
All right. So as far as promoting the show, we haven't done anything in a while, but we got 46 episodes in, and Social Loafer Podcast is not going to go anywhere. We are not done. There will be a future. I can't wait to hear it.
I can't wait to record it.
I can't wait to have time.
Exactly.
Yep.
Resurrection from the dead.
Resurrect the loafer.
Resurrect
the loaf.
Purple-headed yogurt slinger.
I mean, seriously, purple-headed yogurt slinger. Who comes up with that?
Brilliant men.
That's funny.
Brilliant teenagers that have nothing better to do.
Never eating yogurt again.
Why is it so chunky?
Oh, God. Okay. On that note, thank you for joining us here inside the studio. If you'd like to get in contact with us and leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment and listen to a comment on all our posts. Send an email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. Direct all hate mail to the villain. Here are all the ways you can listen to us nowadays. Apple, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and any other podcasting client you choose to use. Follow us. You can leave us feedback on iTunes. If anyone still uses iTunes, they still do that over there. I check them every once in a while. We haven't had a new one in a while. You can follow us on Twitter because X is a stupid name. I don't care how many billions that person has. X is not a name. It's a letter. At Geekcast Radio.
What a national treasure Elon is.
Oh, boy. Did you just swallow your microphone, Mike?
Oh, but I could if you wanted me to.
Dear God.
Follow us on Twitter at Geekcast Radio, at ITS Studio 2009, all one word. I am at TFG and Mike. Are you guys still on Twitter, or did you abandon it?
I still have the profile. I just haven't been on it in so long because it's changed so much that all I see now are ads. And
they screwed it up.
It's terrible.
I'm just messing with you, but it's way different now. It's not even the same thing.
But then again, no social media really is.
No, nope. I'm only on there to post various, like I used to tweet a lot. I started, I think, when did I join Twitter? 2008? Yeah, May of 2008 or 2009, I forget. One of those years. And we used to actually have whole conversations with people on Twitter. There's whole threads of conversations and everything else. And now it's just like, I'll check it. And I checked it the other day. For a show that I'll be doing here soon. I do a live YouTube video show on Wednesdays, and there was a article about – there was a post on Twitter from Entertainment Weekly. Now this – I'm sure you guys might actually like this. Maybe. I don't know. Netflix is releasing – this was – how long ago was this? This was yesterday. It was May 7th. Netflix is releasing an interactive game that allows you to look for love in Virgin River.
No idea what that means.
I'll send the link.
Sounds like a pedophile thing.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. But
join me in the river.
Yeah, join me in the.
There's all kind of virgins, like they're 12 years old and stuff.
No.
Sounds like to me.
So that's what X has devolved into, folks. And that link, that story about whatever this new Netflix thing is, that came from Entertainment Weekly. And I'm like, okay, well, guess you need to get paid somehow. We are on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekcastRadioNetwork. You can also check out Studio 2009 over there, as well as joining the Social Loafers group over on Facebook. I don't post as much as I would like to, but I did throw up several images. He doesn't post in his own group because they're not recording a podcast, because Mr. Bread Manager over there is too high and mighty. It's almost like he's a Bob from Office Space or something.
Sad.
Uh-huh. Another underrated hero in the film.
I just freaking realized this is also the 25th anniversary of Office Space. Fuck, I'm old.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and need you guys to come in on Saturday.
No, it ain't happening. Sorry about your luck.
Fuck, Lundberg fucked her.
Oh, Jennifer Aniston. That's a national treasure right there.
Yes, she is.
Yeah. Except that character.
They're doing another one of those movies where she's like a drug smuggler. What was that?
We're the Millers?
Yeah, doing a sequel.
Oh, nice.
I wonder if she'll do another striptease.
I watch it. Put it online. I'll watch it right now.
Join us next time when we will be when we will be heading back to a galaxy far, far away as we continue the 12 months of Star Wars with Episode 6, Return of the Jedi. For now, I am TF2 and Mike with
Brian Johnson,
Brian Blanchard.
Loafers out.
Go heal back from us in the studio soon. Yes.